Well, praise God. We want to certainly welcome in our persons who are live streaming today. Welcome to Baltimore, Maryland, Baltimore County, Maryland, as we are here to give God the praise on this Easter. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I just feel like doing a little bit of this. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. I see your headlights. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus gave me this light, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me this light, yes He did, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me this light, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. You know, I have so many memories about this time of year. I'm sure you do as well. The Easter egg hunt is over. And that's the one time of year, I don't know about you all, that we got a brand new suit. That we had a new suit, a new haircut, and you were there for Easter. Amen. Some of y'all know about that. But blessed be to God. And had to memorize our Easter speeches. But I just want to say to you, thank you for being here. If you're there by way of our live stream, certainly go ahead and share this broadcast. The message today is one that is fitting, one that is needed, and we can't give God the praise enough. So we're going to pray again, and then we're going to go right to the text this morning. Father, we do ask now in the name of Jesus that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today on this Resurrection Sunday. Encourage another. And when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank God for the technical crew. My daughter, Terry, she's a one-woman wreck crew. Amen. When it comes to technology, you know, wires connecting in pieces. But there's a word today, and there's so many ways you can look at this text from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew the 28th chapter. If you have it, certainly find it. If you maybe you've memorized it, Matthew 28 and 10. And here's how it reads. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I want to talk today on this resurrection morning from the sermonic title, A Divine Appointment. A Divine Appointment. You know, appointment really is an arrangement that we make for our time or a place. You make doctor's appointments. You make a dentist appointment. Some of y'all make your hair appointment and your haircut appointment for your pedicure. I could go down the list of all the appointments that you make. And even during this season, you're making the appointment, I pray, if you feel led, for the COVID-19 vaccine. I mean, we'll just put that in there. Amen. We trust the Savior, not the shot. But can I just say that I feel a little better? The fact that I've got the vaccine, maybe you've gotten it, that's become so important. But I want to talk this morning about a divine appointment, the appointment that we make with God. I want to suggest this morning that an appointment with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is one worth keeping. This story has been told so many times that you could add details, but there's nothing that we should overlook is that we know that Jesus went to the cross. We know that he was beaten. We know that he was murdered there on that old rugged cross. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. And we know that on the third day morning, as Christians, we believe that he got up with all power in his hand. From the cross to the grave to the sky. And the Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. And the story goes like this. The women show up at the tomb to bring spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And women were very much a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. The brothers had gone into hiding, but the women were there. And when they got there, there was an update. The angel says, I know who you're looking for, but he is not here. In fact, why don't I just take you to the tomb so you can see for yourself? And the angel said to the women, at this point, I want you to go and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. Along the way, they're still afraid, shocked. I mean, you just don't bump into Jesus any day of the week, and especially the risen Savior. And at that point, they see him. They are mighty afraid. They bow down to worship him. And you know what? Sometimes we just stop worshiping the Lord for who he is. Amen? He's still the Savior of the world. He said to them, do not be afraid. Well, yeah, last time we saw you, Jesus, you were on the cross, and then we saw you in the tomb, and you're saying, don't be afraid. But guess what he says to the women? He gives them the same assignment the angel had passed along. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Why Galilee? That thing has been in my spirit all week. Galilee in the Hebrew means circuit or district. But why Galilee? And I want to suggest that it's because Galilee is a familiar place. It's because Galilee is a faith-filled place. It is because Galilee is focused on the future. Galilee, a familiar place. This is the home of Jesus. He grew up in the Galilee area, in that region, as a boy. I like what Max Lucado says when he writes in his book, God Come Near. He just says, you know, I wonder if Jesus ever slipped and skinned his knee. He really paints the childhood Jesus growing up in that community. It is now modern day northern Israel. But Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30 right there in Galilee. The Bible says that he was walking along the Sea of Galilee. And he sees there two brothers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting nets. And he says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they dropped their nets, and they followed Jesus. These were first-round draft picks. He went a little further and came across James and John. They were sitting on the boat with their father Zebedee, mending nets. He says to them, come and follow me. How many folk have accepted the charge to just follow Jesus? I love the song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And so Jesus taught in that region. Jesus preached in the region of Galilee. And don't you know he will stop by your Galilee? Oh, yes, he will. My Galilee was 1965 in Live Oak, Florida. You heard my testimony. Me and Morris Williams sitting on the mourner's bench. There in June of 65, Reverend Stewart came down, preached the gospel. We gave our lives to Jesus. That was my Galilee. Where is your Galilee today? Amen? Our mission is to meet people at their Galilee. Meet them where they are. Don't judge them, but encourage them in the Lord. This was a familiar place. Tell the brothers to meet me in Galilee. if they want to see me. Very basic instructions. It was an appointment. But not just that. Galilee was a faith-filled place. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Amen. And in John 2, Jesus performs his first miracle. He performed many that were recorded in the Bible, but he performed a miracle at the wedding at Cana of, or you guessed it, Galilee. Amen. And he's there, just making an appearance, and it turns out that the wine had gotten low, and what does Mama do? Mama do what Mama do. Mama says, the wine is out. And he's saying, well, Mama, this is not my time. But guess what? She sends the servants to him. He says, fill up these 6 water pots. And what happens? It's a miracle. The water is turned into wine. And what about Mark 4, when the disciples are going for a fishing expedition, and they're out there on the boat in the Sea of, where? Galilee. And while they are there at the Sea of Galilee, the forecast must have changed. It began to rot the boat. It began to see the storms pop up. But here's the good news, is that Jesus was on the boat. Oh, my God. Jesus was asleep, he as holy man, in the hinder part of the ship. And as they got fearful, a miracle was in the works. Why? Because he comes up and says, you know, wind, storm, peace be still. And he says to them, ye of little faith. Amen. And don't you know he will turn your home into a Galilee? He will turn your job into a Galilee. He will turn everywhere you go. He wanted to meet them at a specific place for an appointment that they might see him. It was a faith-filled place. It was a familiar place, but also it was a place, I believe, that focused on the future. So the disciples kept the appointment. They met Jesus there in Galilee, up high on a mountain, 11 of them. The word says that some of them worshipped him, but there were still a few doubters in the house who did not quite believe what they were seeing. You know a doubter or two? That yes, the Lord has done so much for you, and yet you still doubt what he can do. Oh, I know you. I'm right here. That he is still doing what he does, and that is saving the lost. Amen? They get to this place on the mountain. They're not rehashing, oh, Jesus, we remember when they took you in and we were worried, and so that's why we ran and hid. No, it was not about that. What happened was is that Jesus begins to minister to them and says, "What, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and yo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He ministers to them in Galilee. But Luke writes over in Acts 1 that Jesus says to them that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll get power to be able to spread my word where? In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. See, meeting him was one thing, getting an assignment is another. Ever met somebody important and you go, oh God, I watch them all the time. I got their album. You know, I watch the show. But it's not just, you know, this sense of meeting someone. It's about what am I going to do? And this is a mission-filled faith. I declare that God has something for you and I to do. And at that moment, as Jesus ascended back into heaven, the Bible says there in Acts that 2 angels looked at the disciples as they looked at Jesus leaving and says what? Men of, you know it, Galilee, why are you gazing into heaven? Why are you shocked? The same Jesus you see is coming back again. Amen? See, sometimes we got to leave our Galilee. You might get the assignment in Galilee, but you got to leave your Galilee in order to minister to someone who needs to hear a word from Jesus. We may have met Jesus in our Galilee, and we can't get hung up on the location or on the miracles, but we got to explain Easter to somebody. We got to break it down for them, because this is what our faith is built on. Yeah, the Easter egg hunt was fine. Yeah, you got a basket. But can you tell them about how Jesus came, how Jesus died, amen, and how he rose from the dead again? I love what Paul, the Apostle Paul, says in 1 Corinthians 15. He really is right down to, he says, you know what? The people he ministered to did not believe in the resurrection. You know anybody like that? They say, you know, I love God, but I don't know about this getting up stuff. I don't know if he really got up from the grave. Can you prove it? I don't know if I really... But Paul says, if that be the case, that if Jesus did not get up from the dead, that means that he's not been raised, and that means that my preaching is in vain. That this preaching is useless. This drive-up theater is just folly if he didn't get up. I've just taken time to write a dissertation if he didn't get up. I just happened to go to seminary just because I thought it was the thing to do, but I didn't get up. Jesus got up. He says, unless you believe that he got up from the grave. Oh, I will just put a pause right there. And unless you believe that, oh, I need two horns now. Unless you believe that he rose from the grave, it says what? Your faith is useless. Oh my God. You are a false witness if you don't believe he got up. Well, as a believer, I've made my divine appointment. It's not in Galilee. Now, Galilee is a great place to visit. I know friends who've been there, and they talk about how great it is. But even in this country, my appointment is not at that place. My appointment is not in Alabama, Alaska, or Arkansas. My appointment is not in California, Colorado, or Connecticut. My appointment is not in Delaware, Florida, or Georgia, although I go to Florida. My appointment is not in Hawaii, Idaho, or Illinois. My appointment is not in Indiana, Iowa, or Kansas. My appointment is not in Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, or even right here in Maryland. My appointment is not in Massachusetts or Michigan. My appointment is not in Minnesota, Mississippi, or Missouri. My appointment is not in Montana, Nebraska, or Nevada. My appointment is not in New Hampshire, or New Jersey, or New Mexico, or New York. My appointment is not in North Carolina, or North Dakota, or Ohio, or Oklahoma, or Oregon. My appointment is not in Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, or South Carolina. My appointment is not in South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, or Virginia. My appointment is not in Washington State, and Washington, D.C., and West Virginia, Wisconsin, or Wyoming. No, my appointment is where your appointment is. That appointment is in glory with Jesus, the one who died for me, the one who rose for me. And so if you miss me from singing down here, and you can't find me nowhere, if you miss me from shouting down here, and you can't find me nowhere, if you miss me from praying down here, and you can't find me nowhere, if you miss me from preaching down here, and you can't find me nowhere, well, come on up to Mount Zion. I'll be singing up there. I'll be shouting up there. I'll be praying up there. Why? I've made my appointment. Now the doctor will see you. Now Jesus will see you. Now Jesus will keep you, because you've kept a divine appointment. Don't you mark off. Don't you cancel. Don't you make an excuse. Because Jesus wants to change your life today. Let's bow before the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for what this day means on the calendar, but what it means in our faith. That yes, I believe that God sent Jesus Christ. I believe that he died, but I believe that he rose again. And the Bible says if you believe that, you shall be saved. Today, whether you're on the parking lot, or whether you reside in one of those states I mentioned, whether you find yourself in a certain state of mind, Jesus can make the difference in your life. Father, I come now and pray for that soul, that one who knows you not, and let them know that they can begin anew today. We ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be able to feel the sunshine. I'm so glad to be able to feel the wind. And I want to say to you, God bless you. May heaven shine upon you. Share this word. I dare you to tell somebody around the table, you know, he did get up. And that's the appointment. God bless you to our Harvest family locally. Now, next week, we're back in the studio. It's raining next week, so I won't join you here on next Sunday. But we're working towards some things as we continue to pray, continue to get our mind, body, and spirit together, that we might come together again. But I'm going to be led by the Lord. Amen? Blessed be to God. On behalf of the entire team, to God be the glory. Be safe going home.